first cases of COVID-19 infection in the Rohingya refugee camp in Bangladesh have been recently confirmed. So what is the ground situation there?
Yes, well, indeed, the first case of COVID-19 amongst the refugee population was confirmed last week in the Kutupalong refugee settlement. And as of yesterday, Sunday, the 17th of May, we've now had 4 confirmed cases among the refugee population. And we anticipate, unfortunately, that this number will increase. So in response to these confirmed cases, we've had rapid investigation teams who've been activated to investigate the cases. The patients have been isolated and they're in treatment, and the teams are creating contacts for quarantine and for testing in accordance with WHO guidelines. Of course, the situation in the refugee camps in Côte d'Ivoire is extremely concerning. So as you might be aware, there are some 860,000 Rohingya refugees in these settlements. They're incredibly densely populated. And you're just by way of comparison, the camps have a population density 1.5 times higher than that of New York City. So it's very challenging as a context.
So as you said, that it's a densely populated refugee settlement sheltering more than 800,000 Rohingya refugees. So the impact of virus in such a situation can be really severe. So what measures have been taken to prevent it from turning into a full-fledged crisis?
Well, over the past few months, since about March, UNHCR and partner organizations have been engaged in a range of preparedness activities. So these have sought to lay the groundwork response and to curb the spread of the coronavirus now that it's actually arrived. So we've had over 3,000 refugee volunteers trained on COVID-19, and they've been helping to ensure that key messages on coronavirus are shared with refugees as well as members of the neighboring host communities. And they're just one part of the stepped-up communications efforts we've had to sensitize refugees and their host communities on how to protect themselves and their families. This has also entailed messaging on how the virus spreads, how to recognize symptoms, and how to seek medical assistance. There have been radio spots, videos, posters, and messages in the Rohingya language, in Burmese, and in Bengali. And of course, we've also been working with partner organizations to ensure that hygiene promotion is stepped up and that water and soap is readily available to everyone. And of course, as well, social distancing measures have been put in place at all distribution points throughout the camps, as well as mandatory hand washing.
So how are the various UN agencies working together for a concerted action in the Cox's Bazar area so that this extremely vulnerable population living in the camps get proper healthcare and facilities in case the numbers shoot up?
Yes, thank you very much for this question. So of course, in support of the government of Bangladesh, UNHCR and partners have been working to best ensure that the infrastructure and the processes are there to enable the rapid isolation and the rapid treatment of COVID patients. So together with our partners, we've put in place procedures to respond to suspected and confirmed cases of COVID. So all medical personnel in all clinics in the camps have been trained on infection prevention and control. And this includes, of course, how to use personal protective equipment, such as face masks. And just today, the 18th of May, the inauguration of an isolation and treatment center is taking place. And this center will treat refugees as well as members of the host community. This is a 50-bed facility and will be joined by a second facility with 144 beds later this week.
Thousands of Bangladeshi host communities also live in the surrounding areas. It has been estimated that these populations are also at a great risk in this pandemic. So are there any measures that have been taken so that it doesn't spread to the neighbouring localities?
Yes, indeed. You know, one thing that UNHCR and our partner organizations are always keen to emphasize is that COVID doesn't discriminate between communities. The risk of getting infected by COVID is the same for everyone, refugees and host communities alike. And that's why UNHCR and partners have deployed thousands of volunteers in both the host and the Rohingya communities to raise awareness about COVID, including precautionary measures and hygiene practices, and why these isolation and treatment centres will treat host community members as well as refugees.
It's also time for the monsoon season in Bangladesh now. This can further impact the mitigation efforts and affect the supplies. Have you prepared to deal with this situation as well?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, the approaching monsoon season is a deep concern. And of course, in fact, UNHCR and partners are closely monitoring right now the situation in the Bay of Bengal, where Cyclone Amphan has just formed. So as part of our annual monsoon preparedness measures, UNHCR and partners have distributed tie-down kits in the camps to reinforce refugee shelters in high winds. We've also pre-positioned post-disaster kits and emergency relief items in case of emergencies. And we also have preparedness and response teams on standby to deploy as needed.
So what's the overall strategy? How is UNHCR working with the government to deal with the pandemic in Bangladesh and in the refugee camps as such? What are the challenges?
Well, of course, the government of Bangladesh is responsible for the overall rescue response, which it carries out with the strong support of the humanitarian community, including UNHCR, UN sister agencies and NGOs. And this is something that we've been working in a concerted and coordinated way, and we're grateful for all of the support that we've received. However, the needs are great and more support is needed. This is why we and fellow humanitarian community members are calling for more international support to Bangladesh, who've been generously hosting the Rohingya refugees, in order to step up services for both refugees and local communities. Timely and effective support from governments, the private sector and individuals are all needed and remains critical. And one thing we'd like to point out is that the joint response plan for the Rohingya community humanitarian crisis is currently just at 26% funded. So more support is needed.